Good morning. This is Pastor Zachary Corey of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Wahoo, Nebraska, and I welcome you to our morning devotion on Monday, April 6th. This is Monday of Holy Week. And before we get started, I do want to encourage you, perhaps even now, to pause or stop this and go and read yesterday's reading. Yesterday's assigned reading, which was Hebrews chapter 1, 1 through 14. I'm not going to read that today because it's Monday, and I'm just going to read our assigned reading for today, but it will make more sense if you read yesterday's reading. So I encourage you to do that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We read together Psalm 118, verses 19 through 29, and I will begin and end us with the antiphon, which is verse 26. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. Thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. It is verse 25 here where we get the word Hosanna. The translation for the ESV, at least, for verse 25 reads, Save us, we pray, O Lord. Well, in the Hebrew, this is Hoshiana. Let's see. Hoshiana. Ana. That's how you would say it in Hebrew, but it ends up, we end up, I think, putting it together and saying Hosanna, which literally translates, save now, I pray, or we pray. So save us now. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. What a wonderful thing to be praying, not just throughout Holy Week, praying Hosanna. Every time we will read this together, but even beyond, especially as long as this coronavirus lasts, as long as this is, you know, restricting us to our homes, etc. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. And then remembering specifically how he does give us success. Moving on, our reading for today, Monday, is from Hebrews 2:1-18. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Now it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, "What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet." Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, "I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation I will sing your praise." And again, "I will put my trust in him." And again, "Behold, I and the children God has given me." Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation, or an atoning sacrifice, for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. What a beautiful reading. I'm so excited to be going through Hebrews with you. The book of Hebrews. This is just, I mean, all of Scripture is fantastic, but I love these first two chapters. They're just beautiful. And I love just a couple of things I want to highlight here. That Jesus, let's see, verse 8, at present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, right? We don't see the world subjected to Jesus' power. I have someone I know who once told me, you know, Jesus most certainly is not ruling the world. I mean, look at everything that's been going on in history since Jesus left. But that's not true. I mean, here it tells us otherwise. That is what it means that he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. Everything is in subjection to him. He is in control of it all, even though it doesn't seem that way. I mean, that's always been the case with God. And that certainly is the case specifically with Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. All things are subjected to him, even though we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Our focus is on the cross. Our focus is on, even on the resurrection, which every Sunday is celebrating, right? But the resurrection, again, is affirming what he does on the cross. It's affirming his death. This is why he has the marks still, even though they're not painful for him, and they're not, you know, merely scars. But he actually bears the marks of what he accomplished. He doesn't say it is finished after he rose from the dead. He says it on the cross, and that is huge. That's everything for us. In verse 10, "For it was fitting that he for whom and by whom all things exist." Notice that. For whom and by whom all things exist. Everything exists for Jesus. And it is by him that all things exist, as we're reminded in John 1:1, right? Or maybe it's verse 2, but in John chapter 1, where we're told that that all things came into existence or came into being through the Word of God, and the Word of God is Jesus. And then we find out later in that chapter that the Word was made flesh and tabernacled or dwelt among us. But the rest of verse 10 there is that, for it was fitting that he, that is God the Father, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. Jesus was made perfect through suffering, which tells us what about ourselves and what we endure. As we've been talking about throughout Lent, that suffering precedes glory. Suffering comes first. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified, all have one source. And then the last highlight, verse 18, for because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus suffered everything that we would suffer. That includes not only tempting, that includes our griefs and sorrows, as the prophet Isaiah tells us in chapter 53. And then we understand, too, that he bore our diseases, our sicknesses. When he heals someone, he takes their affliction upon himself. It doesn't just go into thin air. So many more thoughts, so many more things to expand on, but I want to keep this devotion relatively brief here. So let's continue on with our writing for today, which is from Martin Chemnitz. Martin Chemnitz is known as the other Luther, the other Martin, or the second Martin of the Lutheran Reformation. He penned the Formula of Concord, which is the last section of our Lutheran confessions, or he at least greatly contributed to them. He has produced many other absolutely essential works for Lutheran theology, and having writings that produce what we understand to be true biblical teaching. So Martin Chemnitz writes, and it is the sweetest comfort that sin, which made its habitation in human flesh, was condemned in the same human flesh, in the person of Christ. Our body is the body of death, but in that same body of ours, which the Son of God assumed from us, death was again destroyed. Although our sins have separated us very far from God, as we're told in Isaiah 59, so that we have been alienated from the grace, righteousness, and life of God, as St. Paul talks about in Ephesians 2, yet the Son of God has brought very close to us those heavenly blessings which had been removed far from us, laying them before us through his incarnation in the flesh, which is of the same substance with our own, so that of his fullness we have received grace for grace. As St. John says in his first chapter of his gospel, or we might read it as received grace upon grace. This is the most comforting and salutary exchange, that the Son of God has received from us a human nature and sanctified and blessed and exalted and glorified it in his own person. Moreover, in his Holy Supper, he joins himself to us in that flesh, so that we may be strengthened by this most certain pledge of the salvation and glorification of our nature. For he does not blush to call us brothers. Therefore, because we are such, he also joins himself to us in that flesh and blood. Flesh brought death into this world, and again, the flesh of the Son of Man was given for the life of the world, in order that he who eats the flesh of Christ may have eternal life. There ends Martin Chemnitz, and that last line has a reference to John 6:54, where Jesus talks about being the bread of life. Whoever eats my flesh shall live. All right, continuing on, I rearranged slightly our congregation of prayer sheet. So now on the second page, we look at our memory work, or I actually like this wording better, and I've been intending to update this for a long time, learn by heart. We're going to go back. Several months ago, we had the second part of baptism from the catechism, but I think this is what a perfect time to be reviewing baptism during this holy Passion Week of our Lord. What benefits does baptism give? Let's read together. It works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. Which are these words and promises of God? Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Mark 16:16. Our verse for the week. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Romans 6:4. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience, and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that we turn from our wickedness and live. Graciously behold your people who plead to you and spare us. Withdraw the scourge of your wrath, and be moved in mercy to turn away this pestilence from us. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord God, be with the doctors and nurses and all others who minister to the needs of those who are ill. Through their wise and compassionate service, grant relief to the suffering and hope to the afflicted, so that all may know of your boundless care. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, look down from heaven. Behold, visit, and relieve your servants who stand in need of our prayers. Our Redeemer Lutheran Church, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the Reverend President Matthew Harrison, the Reverend President Richard Snow, our Concordia seminaries, colleges, and schools, our sister churches, the United States of America, President Donald Trump, Governor Pete Ricketts, and of our own Sarah, Gloria, Velva, Elaine, Gail, Lavona, Catherine, Lauren, Valerie, Jacob, Angela, and myself. Look upon them with the eyes of your mercy. Grant them comfort and sure confidence in you. Defend them from all danger and keep them in perpetual peace and safety. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. God's blessings on your day.